Powered by Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2025, episode number 30. Our air date is Thursday, July 24th, 2025. I am your host, C. Willie. I am joined again this week by the lovely and talented...
Water Peep.
That is her. She hasn't kicked me out yet, so I'm pretty happy about that. We have a very special guest this week, our first international guest. He's coming to us from Ontario, Canada. Dan Badger, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, and folks, too, before we kind of get too far along, you're going to notice that the backdrop that Quarter Peep and I are on are a little different than what you're used to seeing. We're on vacation right now. This is the C. Willie family reunion that we are at somewhere in the remote areas of Michigan, having a good time, and so glad that through the wonders of technology and the internet, we're still able to hook up with Dan tonight. This is going to be a special show.
First international show.
Isn't it great? Technology's great until it's not.
As we may have experienced.
we may have noticed Maybe. That. Dan, it's been quite an exciting career for you. You kind of hit the music scene with a series of self-written singles back in mid-2000s. Tell us a little bit about what your background is and how you got to where we're sitting here talking with Vehicle City Sound tonight.
Well, definitely an interesting journey musically for me. At a young age, I always was paying attention to the charts and what was new and what was coming out. And most of those people did not wear cowboy hats. My first found love for music was all of that 80s hair metal stuff, to believe it or not.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I always lean towards the ballads, you know. Poison was a huge influence, but it was Every Rose Has Its Thorn and you know, like all the power ballads were my favorites. So I think with the way that music changed, I mean, now I say that was my favorites. I mean, I was influenced very much by what my father listened to. So there was a lot of Charlie Pride and George Jones and Randy Travis and stuff like that in my background. The mid-90s happened though. So in my cassette deck, On one side, I had Motley Crue and Cinderella and Metallica playing on the one side. And then on the other side, I had Randy Travis, Clint Black, you know, and then we were just coming into the Brooks and Dunn and that kind of era.
Sure.
And now, same as the tape deck, I went to... one of my own concerts, I went and saw Metallica perform, and there was a lot of nudity, a lot of drugs.
That's about right.
maybe some additional flesh that at my age I was excited to see. and you know what? It was a great time, but the audience is completely, the way they respect their artists is completely different. And now I find myself 3 days later, my dad says, "Hey, I've got an extra ticket to go see Randy Travis. Do you want to join me?" And I went, "Sure." So I've got my long hair and my trench coat and my Metallica t-shirt on, and I'm going in to see Randy Travis, and I do not fit in whatsoever.
Like the Undertaker going in.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I'm watching the show unfold, I'm watching more than just him perform. I'm seeing you know, people walk up to the front of the stage and they're laying bouquets of roses at this man's feet. And he's playing a song and people aren't swearing at him. They're applauding him. And I'm like, and I left that concert, and all I could think to myself is, I can't sing Metallica all night long.
Yeah.
So
no question.
Right. So, I mean, so that's where, so that was the ultimate, that was the night I knew I was going country.
That gave you the turn to say, this is what I want to do.
It did. Yeah. You know, and there was never, don't get me wrong. I'll turn on some hair metal every once in a while. These days, and it's kind of a nice break, but I mean, I'm married to country music.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you mentioned, seeing Randy Travis and that, sort of, you also talk about Travis Tritt as being an influence. So you listen to the classic country, and really kind of I don't want to say the last of the old time country, but really kind of the skeleton, the framework, the backbone of country music is what really turned you.
No, absolutely. You know, I find the industry today completely different than, not that I was in the recording part of it, but I mean, knowing the ins and outs of it now, in today's world, you get Morgan Wallen and he goes in and he sings a song. And even though he's the big artist and he's got the budget behind him, you're still hearing him doing 90% of his own harmonies, right? It's artist over artist, where Garth Brooks, Clint Black, Travis Tritt, I mean, it was them. And then there was the backup singers, right? Even on the recordings. Yeah. And I don't know which one's better. Definitely, if you're doing all the singing and then you go and take it live, I mean, it's definitely a little difficult to, replicate, but,
sure.
You know, but there's so many different things that you can, once you get into the industry, that you kind of measure it up now and wonder, you know, but yeah, the writing, yeah, but I mean, writing, the storytelling, you know, that's what it, I guess it's not definitive as to what country music needs to be or has to be. I don't think there's a line for that anymore, but, that's definitely the time and era that I came from was the storytelling.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that Quarter Peep and I really enjoy as much as anything about talking with artists like you in that independent genre, so to say, that you don't have the 57th floor of the tower telling you what your song needs to say. We need a hit that's going to appeal to the 15 to 18 year old female. Go write it. You're writing the songs and the stories that make sense to you.
Yep. I mean, probably, and I don't know from, you know, but I know in Canada, it's a little more difficult because we have laws that help us get our music onto the radio. But due to popular numbers, you know, even the Canadian listeners, you know, you ask, if I went and asked my fan base, what song do you want to hear right now? They're going to tell me Morgan Wallen. They're not going to pick me. They're not going to pick the major Canadian artist. They're going to pick a major, you know, American hitmaker. Right. So the Canadian radio broadcasting, it's mandated that they have to play, the radio stations have to play 25% Canadian content,
really?
which is okay. Fantastic, but let's put the 25% in numbers. Most major radio stations have 20 to 25 songs in rotation. So if you go with,
so
if you go with 25 songs, that's five songs out of those, the 25 in major rotation that are Canadian. There's a lot more than five Canadian artists. So it's really hard for the independents to even cut through that, even though we have, you know, some things that are supposed to be helping us along. It's still a difficult breakthrough.
So do they have any changes that have been coming up maybe this year or next year on those types of laws? Have they looked into that and saying, hey, you know, we live here. Why can't our music be on the radio more often?
While I respect that thought process, and I think that would be a great thought process, that would be like me dictating to my fan base, don't listen to my music on X streaming. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to it on Y. Well, it's going to cost me more money. Yeah. Why would I do
that? Very true.
And so, again, and this is my opinion. I know other people's definitely feel like just legitimate towards the question that you just asked, but if we force my music, and I'm not saying that it's bad or good or anything else, but when the listeners aren't used to us and they have all these options to listen to music now, if you're not playing the Post Malones and the Morgan Wallens of today, mm-hmm. they're going to go to Spotify and they're going to stop listening to radio.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just my opinion. Point. That's, you know, I am no expert, but yeah, I think
based on experience.
Well, not even experience. I know that if you force me to listen to something, you know, if I'm forced to listen to something I don't want to hear, I'm changing the channel. And if I'm not changing the channel to a different station, I'm going to switch over to Spotify or SiriusXM or whatever I can access.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right? So,
well, one of the songs we want to hear is Summer Days. Tell us a little bit about Summer Days, the first one we've got queued up from you, Dan.
Well, Summer Days, probably a little bit longer explanation than you were hoping for on this one. We talked briefly about my background. My background coming from Quebec. So I was born in Quebec and I moved to Ontario when I was 4 years old. My mom was in an accident, so she passed away. So it was my father and I since I was four years old and on. So what would happen was I would finish up my school year in June. And then within a couple of days, my dad would pack me up, take me down to my family in Quebec, and I would spend all my summers down there. So I really feel like I did my growing up down there, but I spent it with my cousins and my aunts and uncles and my grandparents. And most of my cousins don't feel like cousins. They're more like siblings, if you will, you know, just because we spent so much time together.
Mm-hmm.
And my aunts and my uncles, they're not really my aunts and uncles. They're extended parents, you know? So I spent all my summers in Quebec, and that's this song was kind of an homage to, you know, spending my summers out in the hay fields with my uncles and you know, there was a very small town, about 2,000, 3,000 people, you know, so I would go down to the local pool and down to we call them the canteen, but, you know, go down and get some ice cream and stuff like that and all those summery things. So that's what this song is. It's kind of an homage to my youth.
All right. Well, knowing that, got the backstory. Let's give a listen. This is Dan Badger's Summer Days.
Hard on those summer days. miss those good old days. Yeah, I miss those summer days. I still lemonade, sun coming down in little shade. How I miss those good old days. Falling in and out of love again. Monique's hair blowing in the wind. In the back of that Chevrolet. Take me back. Take me back to those summer days. A little corn roast and barbecue. A lot of cold beer and a Garth Brooks too.
Got clapping going on here in the studio, Dan. There's,
hey,
that is Steve Willie family approved.
Perfect.
I tell you, that's one of those songs you can just feel rolling down Main Street with the windows down, listening to that playing loud. That's you've got summer nailed right there.
Yeah, it's you know what? I wrote that song a long time before we actually got to recording it, so it was definitely kind of a bucket list or definitely a to-do kind of thing to get that one recorded. So
you absolutely nailed it, and we're glad you did.
So. Thank you.
Hey, folks, let's take a quick little break. We are going to come back on the other side of this message with Dan Badger.
Can't take your purse into the show? Here's a safe and convenient alternative, Wallet Buckle. They're super stylish, convenient, and very safe. Go to walletbuckle.com and check them out. And if you enter the coupon code QUARTERPEEP, you get 15% off your order. That's walletbuckle.com.
Welcome back to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. We are with Ontario, Canada's Dan Badger. He has just schooled us on summer days. We're excited about that. Great tune. Dan, you know, you talked a little bit about the fact that that reflects on your growing up, kind of your childhood experiences. Do you draw a lot on that in your creative process? What drives you writing your songs?
You know what? I'm going to go with it varies. I think the biggest thing in music today is being authentic, singing about the things that you know. If I sang a song about trying to connect to this program to have an interview with you, I would fail miserably at that song. of course, I was going with you here. Of course, unless there's, you know, a lot of swearing in it, then it would be authentic. But
we'd be all over this,
right?
I think we would be.
The rodeo song would have nothing on this one. But
let's go.
But no, I mean, I try to sing about whether it's my own experiences or whether it's you know, my own feelings or emotions towards things, you know, and if I'm not singing about something that's happened to me or something that I've experienced, you know, we go right back to what we were talking about earlier about it being storytelling. Mm-hmm. Because you want to be able to follow the story, you want it to make sense. And you know what, if it's a good story, I mean, people want to hear about it. So I think it's situational. I mean, as musicians, sometimes you're asleep and you wake up and you jot down a line because it just came to you, or, you know, sometimes it's a storyboard. Sometimes, you know, it's an event that happened to you. You know, yeah. And again, I think that process is different for everyone.
Yeah. It's interesting because what you're talking about is what we hear from a lot of the artists, that you never know really when it's going to hit you. But when you do, that's the moment in time you start focusing on getting that on paper.
Yep. I have come home from a live show and gotten home at 3:30 in the morning and exhausted and just get struck by influence. And 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm putting the guitar down because I've just, maybe I didn't finish the song, but I came down with most of it, and, you know, it started at 4 and it kept going. So.
You bet. Well, and we've also talked to folks that a song may, as you talked about Summer Days, that song was written years ago before you were able to record it, that it might be sometimes 10 years sitting on the shelf before it actually sees the light of day.
Funny story about that. I mean, my recording career started a little bit later in life, but I mean, I took that song to a couple of different producers and they're like, you know what, it's okay, but, you know, let's find a different song, you know? So, I found a guy, and, well, it was a dear friend of mine, and we wrote a song together, and I said to him, I said, I really need to record this song. Like, this is my story. So it needs to be a song that I get done. So that's how that finally came.
And that's how it came.
And even he was like, well, it's, you know, as it was written, it wasn't modern enough for today. And I said, okay, well, let's fix that. Let's, you know, and he didn't really change anything. He just modernized the chording and stuff like that. So.
All right. Well, we're glad he did.
Me too.
We got one queued up here that we're glad you, that has been recorded. And that's Girl Right Now. Tell us a little bit about Girl Right Now.
Well, this is the song that I wrote with the guy that I convinced to produce that song.
Same guy.
Oh yeah. So, so this is another Canadian boy. His name is Darcy John, and he's actually an artist as well. He's from Ontario. He actually lives down in Nashville and slings guitar daily on Broadway. You can find him at multiple places down there. So what happened was I did most of my recording, obviously, here in Canada, but then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And he was living in Nashville at the time. And he's like, well, let's do some writing, because what else can you do? So we hopped on a Zoom call and we started talking about song ideas and stuff like that. And so he said, well, let me produce one of the songs. He goes, I've produced before, but I've never produced a song for the purpose of putting on a radio. He goes, so let's finish it up. If you like it, we'll see where it goes. And I absolutely love the sound that he came up with, and it worked. So while we were doing that, we wrote Girl Right Now. And we, you know, as you say, how do you come up with these, with the ideas for your song? Where do you draw from? And that's where him and I were. We're talking about what we wanted to do, what we wanted to write about, and different ideas. And I said, I don't know. I said, do you have any ideas? And he goes, I don't know. I was hoping you had something. I said, well, it's COVID. I said, and it was about a month and a half. About a month before COVID, I was in a car accident and I wrote off my car. So that gave me the opportunity to buy my very first truck. I said, I just got a truck. He goes, okay. I said, well, when I picked up my truck, I said, it was a pretty nice truck, had lots of bells and whistles on it and stuff. And I said, I looked over at my son and I said, you know, I said, you give dad 4 weeks and I'm going to have a girlfriend, because this truck's going to get me some girls. And that's funny. That's what he did. He laughed at me. anyway, that never really, the girlfriend never transpired. Just to, you know, if you want to jump ahead, thanks so much for your support on that. And, but so Darcy looks at me and goes, okay, Girl Right Now. That's the name of our song. And we started, you know, talking. That's where we came from that. And somebody recently asked a question on Facebook and to a bunch of artists saying, you know, what's the favorite line that you have ever written in any of your songs? And this is the one that comes to mind. I mean, I've got a line in there. It says, you know, we're talking about your childhood days. And I said, there, vrooming my Tonka truck. I don't know. It's nothing spectacular, but I love it.
There you go.
I love it. That's awesome. For it
now. This is Dan Badger's Girl Right Now.
Tonka truck, had a crush on a girl, she didn't like me much. Dad and mammy broke down in tears, asked me what I'm doing here. How do I get a girl right now with my Tonka truck, four wheels rolling and kicking up dust, smiling back.
Girl Right Now from Dan Badger. And Darcy was wrong. You did get the Girl Right Now.
Eventually.
We love that one. We love that one. Dan, where can folks find you? You got new fans. You got a whole bunch of new fans here on this side of the border. Where can folks find you?
Well, I mean, if we're looking for streaming, you can find me anywhere. I'm on Spotify, Apple, Amazon. It's new to me, but I'm learning about this fantangled thing called Pandora. We don't have that here in Canada.
Ooh.
You know, so you can find me anywhere there. I'm in Facebook land and Instagram and all that stuff. Dan Badger Music or Dan Badger had to change my Instagram handle. So it's Dan Badger Music Experience. I'm on TikTok.
Okay.
And of course, my website, which is www.danbadgermusic.com. You can check out all my dates. I wish there was some e-commerce on there, but that hasn't come to fruition yet to sell some merch. But, you know, hopefully that is in the future. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, to a live show.
We'll get there.
I'm halfway to Michigan.
That's what we need to do.
Coming
we
weekend,
will,
just saying.
Yeah, it's not that far.
I'm playing. I'm playing just on the other side of London, so we're probably an hour and a half from the border. So,
well, and being a big fan of the OHL, I know those towns. So the London Knights and we'll be over there. Hey, Dan, I tell you, I'm really excited about this last one that we've got queued up. I'm excited that my mom is on the other side of the camera right now because this is the kind of music that she just loves. And I love this song. Getting My Over You On is a lot of fun. Tell us a little bit about this one.
So this one is a little unique. I did not write this one. I got to sing this one. Another Canadian artist, he's from... up around Edmonton, Alberta. He lives in Nashville, and he's penned a bunch of songs that have been recorded. Like he's an artist here in Canada. He's got number one hits and some top 10 hits here in Canada. His name is Aaron Goodwin, but he's also penned some tracks that have been recorded by John Party, Cole Swindell, some guy. Luke Bryan. I don't know, never heard of him.
yeah, heard of him. Yeah, not real familiar, but yeah.
So Aaron, with his own success, he knows what a struggle it can be for the independent artists. And he started a business, him and his wife started a business called For the Record Biz. And they're helping independent artists like myself. The idea behind it anyway is that when you think of Brooks and Dunn, you think Boot Scoot and Boogie. When you think of Alan Jackson, you think Chattahoochee. Sure. The idea behind this is in hopes that we're going to get your Boot Scoot and that they're going to achieve your Boot Scoot and Boogie or Chattahoochee, whatever the case might be. Get you enough growth and popularity that the industry becomes a little bit easier, not just the recording process.
Sure.
But as you gain more popularity, that you have an easier time developing the bigger shows and stuff like that. So we worked together We did some writing. We came up with some really good songs, but Aaron sent me a bunch of songs that he had co-written with other people. And he's like, what do you think of this? And he would send me a bunch. And that's kind of how we picked some of the writing partners for when we did some writing sessions. But this song really stuck out. And he's like, what do you think about recording this song? And I'm like, And I said to him, at first it was almost a hard no. I'm like, I love the song, but I don't know how I take this song and recreate it live because of some of the instrumentation in it. I said, I'm not going to hire a horn section for one song. So, and eventually we got talking and like, well, you could do this or you could do that. He goes, but ultimately, you know, if you don't get a popular song, you're never going to play it live anyway. I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Well, that's just logic. Who asked you? So that is part of the, that's why I opted to record this song. It was written by Aaron Goodwin, and he has a couple of big hits here in Canada that he also wrote with a gentleman named Skip Black. And so they co-wrote this song, and I got the honor to record it.
Well, we're certainly glad you did. And this is just one of my favorites. I really enjoy this one.
It's really fun.
This is from Dan Badger. Getting My Over You On. Yes, sir. Get My Over You On. Love it. Absolutely. Oh, so happy you recorded that song. You made that decision.
It was a lot of fun. I'm glad I opted to do it. And I really love the way it turned out. So yeah, it was a privilege as for me as much as it was fun. So
It definitely is a fun song. It's very catchy. I absolutely love that one. Dan, we appreciate so much you spending some time with us tonight.
I appreciate you having me here. It was a lot of fun.
Super. Well, Quarter Peep, who we got next week?
So we have Jordan Frank.
Looking forward to talking with Jordan as well. I think that's a wrap on tonight's show. Want to say thank you one more time to our special guest, Dan Badger. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For all of you out there in podcast land, we thank you for all of your support. You've been fantastic to us, whether you're listening to us on Spotify or maybe watching us on YouTube. We appreciate you being with us each and every week. If you know another Dan Badger that you want us to talk to, drop us a line, vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. That's the email address. We love hearing from you. And if you want to know where we're going to be, vehiclecitysound.com is the website. Catch us at a show. Find out where we're going. We love seeing you. We love all the accolades and the happiness we're getting from each and every one of you. Thank you again for joining us. Dan, thanks for being with us. And hey, everybody, be good.
Bye-bye.